His next words came as a shock to me. I had expected that he might call me a few names or throw a hissy fit. That's not what happened. Here's what happened. His face collapsed into a scowl, and he had just opened his mouth as if to deliver me a lecture on why dogs shouldn't chew steering wheels, when suddenly his eyes moved from me to a... What was that? It appeared to be a spot on the seat, a rather large wet spot on the driver's side, about where he usually sat, you might say. Slim, that is. Where he usually sat on the seat. Oops. His face turned red. His eyes widened, then narrowed into angry squints. His nostrils flared. His eyes came at me like bullets. What's that? I had no idea. Honest. No kidding. This was the first I'd seen of it. Okay, I had some idea. It was a wet spot. A spot of wetness. Rain. It had rained and the window had been... Wait, the window had been rolled up, right? So maybe the roof had leaked. Yes, that was it. A leaky roof. Yikes, his face was getting redder by the second. This was looking bad, very bad. I glanced around, hoping to find a trap door or secret passageway that might let me out of there. No luck. At that point, I began to consider the pros and cons of hurling myself through the window. But no, I had already tried that deal. Once again, I was trapped, and his eyes were burning holes in me. I couldn't look at him. I mean, I knew nothing, almost nothing, about the wet spot on the seat, but still, I felt terrible about it, and, well, the evidence did look pretty bad. He was mad, really steamed. I counted my heartbeats and waited for the storm to hit. At last, he spoke.
Hank, have you ever been beat to death with a ball peen hammer?
No, never.
Has anybody ever tied you up in a gunny sack and throwed you into a pit full of alligators?
Not that I could, recall, no.
Well, somebody should have done it a long time ago, and the only reason they didn't was they didn't want to waste a good gunny sack.
He kicked the side of the pickup.
You're worthless. Dumb as a box of rocks.
He kicked the pickup again.
First you chewed up my steering wheel, and then you puddled all over my seat. Didn't you?
But you see... Okay, yes, I'd done it. I was a rat and a bum, and he might as well fetch the hammer and get on with the ugly business. He stared at me through his glasses, which, by the way, were speckled with green bits of alfalfa hay. He glared at me and shook his head and muttered words under his breath. How was I supposed to respond to that? When they don't come right out and say what's on their minds, how can a dog... I mean, communication is impossible without communication, right? When they just stand there, moving their lips and muttering under their breath... At last, he broke the awful silence.
Hank, you're so dumb it hurts. But you know what hurts even worse?
No, I had no idea, and I wasn't sure I wanted to know. He leaned into the cab and brought his face right up to mine.
What hurts even worse is that I may be even dumber than you are, since I'm the doofus that caused it all.
I stared at him in disbelief, and even dared to tap the end of my tail.
If I'd tied down the dadgum hay with ropes like you're supposed to, none of this would have happened.
Yes, I had tried to warn him about that.
And if a man ain't smarter than his dog, I guess he gets what he deserves. A chewed up steering wheel, a seat that's been potted on, and a pickup sitting in the middle of the dadgum creek.
He leaned against the side of the pickup, snatched his hat off his head, and used it to fan his face.
Boy, this day ain't going according to plan.
He heaved a sigh and looked down at his feet.
Well, here I am, standing in the creek, and I notice that my boots leak. Is there anything else we can do to foul up the day? Yes, there is. We could be stuck, and then I could have the pleasure of walking back to headquarters in wet boots and explaining to the boss how I happened to park his pickup in the creek.
He climbed into the cab and slammed the door.
Perhaps he had already forgotten about the wet spot on the seat,
and I sure wasn't going to bring it up.
Well, I reckon we'd better find out if we're stuck or not.
He fired up the motor, stomped on the gas, threw her into reverse, and popped the clutch. We lurched backwards a few feet, and yes, I did go sailing into the dashboard. Slim got a chuckle out of that and said,
"Hang on, Pooch, 'cause Barney Oilfield is at the controls."
He shifted into Grandma Low, popped the clutch, and threw me back into the seat. He repeated this several times, back and forth, until at last he plowed his way up the west bank and back on dry land. I had never met Barney Oilfield, but he must have been a crazy driver. But the important thing was that we had rescued the pickup, and that left Slim in a much better mood. He grinned down at me.
"You know, Hank, you're so graceful, maybe we ought to send you to ballet school."
Ballet school? What did that mean? I didn't know if this was a sincere compliment or just another of his cowboy jokes. With these guys, you never know. But his smile soon faded, and he snapped his finger.
"Dern, I've got to load all them bales back on the flatbed."
We pulled around to the pile of bales, and with much grunting and muttering, he reloaded the hay. I supervised the loading process and checked for mice beneath the bales. No mice. And he did a pretty fair job of stacking. That done, we went on with our feed run and pitched out hay to the cows on down the creek. At 12 o'clock, we found ourselves in the East Creek pasture, far from home and food. But Slim had come prepared. He drove under a big cottonwood tree, shut off the motor, and reached into the glove box. He pulled out a brown paper sack, which, had a pretty interesting smell about it. He must have noticed that I had noticed.
"Hey, you didn't know you was in here in the cab with my dinner, did you? Hey, it's a good thing you didn't. Old Slim will overlook a few fang marks on the steering wheel, but don't be messing with his dinner."
Well, no, of course. I knew that. And if he thought, it did smell pretty yummy. And yes, it was a good thing I hadn't known that it was in there. It appeared to be a sandwich. He had wrapped it in, was that newspaper? Yes, by George, he had wrapped his sandwich in a piece of newspaper. He removed the newspaper, held the sandwich in his hands, and admired it. He smelled it and cut his eyes towards me. He might have noticed that I was, well, watching. Watching with considerable interest. My ears leaped up and I licked my chops. Yes, I'm sure he noticed because he gave me a big grin.
"Now, ain't this a beautiful sandwich? Built it myself. Canned mackerel and taco sauce. It's my own receipt."
He took a big bite. Red juice oozed out of the sides. Taco sauce, I guess it was, and dripped onto his fingers and jeans. He licked his fingers and then waved the sandwich under my nose.
"Here, I reckon I can spare you a smell."
You probably think that I tried to steal a bite of it, but I didn't. No, if he'd wanted me to join him for lunch, he would have brought me something. I was sorry he didn't consider our friendship worth a sandwich or some token reward,
But apparently he didn't, and that was fine. It smelled pretty good. Not great, but pretty good. I'd never been wild about the smell or taste of canned mackerel. At certain times of certain days, I'd even gone on record as saying that mackerel stinks. But on this particular day, as we were picnicking under the cottonwoods, it didn't smell half bad. Pretty good, actually. And the longer I sat there watching him eat and listening to him slurp and smack, the better it smelled. I might have preferred roast beef or fried steak, but those items weren't on the menu. He waved it under my nose again. Why was he doing this? I mean, it's not polite to eat in front of your friends, right? Even dogs know that. Yet here he was, not merely eating in front of his loyal friend and hay-hauling partner, but also waving the sandwich in front of my nose. And by the way, it smelled great. I've always loved the aroma of fresh canned mackerel. The taco sauce I can take or leave, but mackerel, great smell. It always reminds me of ocean spray and enchanted islands and, well, food. I was pretty sure that he would offer me a bite. That would be the polite and mannerly thing to do. And to encourage his manners and politeness, I swept the pickup seat with broad wags of my tail and showed him through perked ears and facial expressions that I was ready for my portion. I waited. He took another bite. He gave me a wink. What was the deal? Surely he wasn't gonna eat it down to a stub and give me the crust. I mean, he'd done that before. Did he think I had special fondness for crusts of bread? Hey, if he didn't want to eat them, why should I? No thanks. If it was a mackerel sandwich, I wanted some mackerel. At that very moment, he saw something out of the corner of his eye. He turned his head to the left and said, "I'll be darned. There's that same roadrunner I seen over here just the other..."
Well, what does he expect me to do? Just sit there like a box of rocks? His term. Whilst he slobbered and smacked and showed terrible manners and devoured our whole mackerel sandwich? Heck no! I did what any normal, healthy American dog would have done. He wasn't real happy about it. Gave me an elbow in the ribs, but that was too bad. He was the guy who'd brought up the subject by waving the sandwich under my nose. I felt no guilt about it, none. What I felt was quite a bit worse than guilt. That stinking mackerel gave me the worst heartburn I'd experienced in my entire career. I burped dead fish all afternoon. Who would put such rot into a sandwich? I should have known better than to eat anything made by a bachelor cowboy. I hate mackerel.